Hello and welcome to Tech Transformations, the podcast where we unravel the latest in automation and AI and other top tech trends. Today, we're debunking myths and uncovering the truth about digital labor. The future of work is changing, and we are here to guide you through it. With us today is Salem Hadim, VP of Automation and AI at Prolifix. Welcome, Salem. How are you?
Thank you. Thank you, Kirsten. Great to be here as always. Yeah, looking for another episode of innovation, of insight. And let's talk digital labor.
Awesome. So to start out, can you please explain the concept of digital labor and its impact on businesses? For example, how does it differ from traditional labor practices?
Yes, certainly. Digital labor is the concept of leveraging technology to create functional roles that empower employees to get work done. So it's work done using a digital technology. So with the advent of Gen AI, chatbots, and then other technologies, leveraging AI mainly, and then RPA, we are now able to create labor that is actually able to assume a functional role. For example, you are able to create an HR digital assistant that can assist an HR recruiter, as an example. You are able to create a digital labor in loan origination that can assist a loan processor, for example, in loan origination process. And this is different from the traditional, I would say, bots, right? Because they were really not digital workers or digital labor. RPA allowed us to create bots to take care of the mundane and repetitive tasks. They mainly ran in the backend. They had very limited functionality when it comes to creating them in an assisted way, while a given employee will invoke them and then stop them when he needs. But there was a lot of technology involved. There is a lot of work tech for an employee to go and then initiate an RPA bot. So with that, with RPA, we were able to take care of only with mundane and repetitive work. Now, with digital labor and then the rise of Gen AI and then AI in general, now we are able to trust these digital workers to actually do smart work. For example, for the HR recruiter example that I took earlier, a recruiter now can ask a digital labor through a conversational AI that got even better to actually create a job description. Or it can actually make a request. Can you go and then create a job opening so that I'm going to be hiring for such a role? So digital labor will be smart enough to know actually before publishing job requirement on LinkedIn or on Monster Track, we need first to create a requisition internally and then get it approved. So digital labor is that smart from the things is able to do. And then also you are able to invoke it in a very conversational way because of the advent of chatbots, thanks to Gen AI. And it's able to have a conversation just like what we are having you and me through a chat interface.
Right. Absolutely. Thank you for sharing that background. It's almost like sometimes I like to view it as your own virtual assistant, if you will, because that's how smart and helpful that they can be, right?
That's well said. Yes, your smart virtual assistant or executive assistant in which any tasks you feel they are not revenue generating or they are not like maybe customer facing, have that digital assistant, as you said, help you with these tasks and then focus on high value generating tasks, communicating with your customers, talking strategy, and then working on growth strategies and then things like that.
Okay, awesome. Now, I know this is more of a follow-up question to what you had just explained, but just to clarify, are we using the terms digital labor and Gen AI, I don't want to say interchangeably, but Gen AI, generative AI, falls into the category of digital labor, right?
I would say Gen AI is leveraged to create digital labor.
Okay.
So that with other technologies such as chatbots, such as RPA, and then Gen AI, you are able now to create a digital labor. Think of it as maybe the fuel of digital labor. That's a good way to put it as well.
Okay, yeah, perfect. That makes sense. Thank you. So next question is a myth that maybe has been going around for a little bit, or just a topic of concern for some people, is the fear that digital labor will replace human workers, will replace some of our jobs. And I think what we're learning is that's really not the case. Can you elaborate on how digital labor is designed to complement human capabilities rather than replace them?
Yes, certainly. Yes. As you said, it's not the case. It's a big conception, because at the end, there are stats. For example, there is a study that got published that by 2031, because of digital transformation, we will be short of more than 85 million digital workers, like labor, I would say. And there are really no human capacity to fill that need. That's on one hand. And then that's why there is a need for this innovative way to take care of digital work, because the world is moving to a digital world with digital transformation. The second thing, really think about it a little bit. When you are productive in your work, right, KP, what does it happen to your company? It grows,
mm-hmm.
Right? That's normal, right? You are doing things faster. You are doing things with better quality. You are serving your customers much better. So this will directly impact your top line and then impact your bottom line. So then when companies are growing, when they are making their shareholders happy and meeting their growth objectives, they don't lay off people, right? That's exactly what that is the growth is the keyword here. Companies do not lay off people when they grow. Yes. In fact, what the impact here with digital labor, we were able to make our employees happy. And then we kind of removed all the things they don't want to do, right? At some point, because we are giving them this freedom through that conversational experience to really ask the digital labor, what is it that they need help with so that they can be more productive, they can be more motivated. So that's the concept.
Absolutely. That's hugely important. And I think I've gotten a glimpse of that even in my role. You know, this is more with generative AI, but I'm really learning how it's actually complementing my role. I'm not scared that it's going to take over, because I'm actually, you know, I use ChatGPT as an example, generative AI, and it actually helps me learn quicker. Obviously, I have to do fact checks and stuff like that with other sources, but it's actually allowing us to create content quicker, faster, and more efficiently. So kind of seeing that within our own organization too. And it's super exciting. So the next question is another myth that suggests that implementing digital labor could be complicated and expensive. Can you provide examples of the benefits that organizations can expect from implementing digital labor? And how does the return on investment compare to the costs?
Oh, certainly. I think, when you like initiate initiatives and then bring in new technologies, but then you are not really doing it the right way, whether you have not done process discovery correctly to see how digital labor can be brought in. And then we have seen that with RPA, in which people really just want to pick up those low-hanging fruits, but then without looking at the process end-to-end, and then do we really need an RPA bot here? So a lot of RPA projects failed. In fact, if you look at the percentages, we have a high percentage of RPA initiative failing versus the ones that were successful. And then that's really what created that misconception, because of those failed project, and then, you know, you do it again, obviously costs go up from services perspective. And that's really what has happened. With digital labor, things are different. First, with AI, you are able to do much more efficient discovery through process mining, if you would like to, so that you have that end-to-end view of your process, and then know where digital labor is beneficial, where digital labor is not needed, and then you will just do things how you used to do. So that's one hand. The second thing is digital labor is fueled with Gen AI, right? Generative AI. And then what is behind generative AI is foundational models. These are foundational models are pre-trained models with a lot of things that company used to do to train these one leveraged AI. Now you are able to, you are saving 80% of that training time. Not only you are saving 80% of that training time, but you are also being able, you are getting, in fact, ideas from that pre-trained that happen on foundational model in your business. For example, if you bring in a foundational model that was actually trained by healthcare data, now you are getting clues, tips, right, from other companies' data on how to do things better for your company. So it's really time to market, and then also quality is what foundational models and then generative AI brings in. And then that's what I was saying earlier. Really, this is the fuel of successful digital labor.
That's awesome. That makes sense. And it's just another reason why it's so important to understand these things, because it could easily be interpreted that, oh, this is going to cost me a lot of money or whatever. But when you really understand the benefits of how it's actually going to help save you time and money, that's where things get moving forward, faster time to market, like you said. So thank you for explaining that. The next question is regarding errors. So a third myth discusses the idea that digital labor is prone to errors, right? How does the use of predefined rules and automation actually lead to more precise and error-free task execution compared to humans doing the tasks?
Yes, certainly. So we can look at this really from two angles. Like why there is this, I would say, perception that, for example, bots were, because I would call them bots, right? I make a big difference between bot versus digital labor. Bots, yes, they had errors, mainly because on the time that people spend designing them. Mm. Because at the end, I was referring earlier to people were not doing enough process discovery to really understand what this bot needs to do. So a lot of the errors happen there. The second thing is more like KP in the handoff, right, between bot to human. So that handoff was really not thought through in most of the implementation. And then what is happening, like a bot would go and run in the backend, and then an employee comes in and then he checks, oh, what did this bot do? Oh, maybe he stopped here, right? So there was a lot of like no syncing, right? If it's a good word, between the bot and then the human worker. And then that's really what digital labor is addressing, because now we are able to invoke digital labor through conversational experience. And then, as you said earlier, he is our digital assistant. There is this level of personalization that we have done for digital labor to understand the employee that is using it. So that's one how we are able to address those errors that happened before because of design issues. Because, yeah, software is never wrong when designed correctly. So that's why there was that perception from a design perspective, from a handoff perspective. And then that's really why we are coming up with this concept of digital labor, so that people take the time to design it correctly with a level of personalization, and then also think about good handoffs and then a good collaboration between human employees and then digital labor employees.
Right. So it's kind of it's the harmony between the two, basically.
Correct. Yeah. And then also correct process discovery. Process discovery is paramount for any success to create the right use case, to create the right business case, and then making sure that this gives you that ROI that you are looking for.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you. The next question, one of my favorites, is the notion of digital labor being considered trivial or silly. And it may be a little bit similar to the question you just talked about. For example, you know, when you ask digital labor a question, or like a chatbot or a virtual assistant a question, and it doesn't quite grasp the context of what you're actually trying to ask it. something like that. Can you explain how technologies like generative AI are used to make digital labor more contextually aware and capable of handling complex tasks like that? And just kind of how are they able to address the question or the prompt that the human is giving it?
Yeah, great question. And then that's really where the power of generative AI comes in the picture. So just like how, like ChatGPT, if we look at large language models, which is one of the types of Gen AI, it's able to give you a recommendation on how you make your essay better, as an example. And then in the use case that I mentioned earlier around HR, and then a recruiter asking a digital labor to go and then publish a job description in MonsterTrack, for example, or Indeed, the digital labor was smart enough to tell him, actually, you need first to get requisition. So this is mainly thanks to the foundational model approach. So these were actually pre-trained. So there is a lot of it's really taking training to the next level when it comes to creating digital labor. So this allowed us to make these, what we referred to before as bot, to be like digital workers, and then being able to do smart work. Like they're able to generate also job description for that recruiter, as an example. It's able to go and make searches and then realize a candidate for which you haven't sent a thank you letter or like a denial letter. So all these are through training, you are able to get such a rich conversation. That's from a digital worker. The second thing is that user interface, right, that we mentioned earlier, which is through a chat capability. Chatbots got much, much smarter thanks for large language models. Before, you want to design a chatbot, you spend really long time training it, but then really all what it learned is understanding the language, English, the words. But then the context is something you will need to train him again and again, and then there is just so much training you can do, right? And then that's why people didn't get those chatbots to the level of large language models. It's completely different way of looking how you do training. That's what foundational models gave us KP, and then now we are giving you a much better trained technology, I would say.
Right. They're very smart. I have a couple more questions for you, Salem. The next one, and you may have briefly talked about this a little bit already as far as process discovery and kind of looking at, you know, your own processes from start to finish, but how can organizations effectively transition to incorporating digital labor into their existing processes? Are there any best practices or strategies that you recommend?
Yes, certainly. I would say understanding that process discovery is paramount, making sure that things are done, understanding the current system, and then focusing on understanding handoffs between digital labor and then an employee. Understanding your process end-to-end so that where you put automation and digital labor, maybe you change your process, how it works, and then your touch points, and then you may not need that automation in that place, right? Focus on personas of your employees. I think a lot of process discovery that happened, the person of an employee that is working with that process is kind of neglected. So that's number three. And then number four, bring in experts that actually have done that work, and then they can come in with pre-built digital labor, like the ones Prolifics has developed, right? We developed pre-built digital workers in HR, in loan origination, in invoice processing for the finance office, and for auto insurance industry. So that experience is paramount. First, you leverage what was pre-built so that you actually increase the time to build your own digital workers. But then also on the other hand, you are bringing people that actually worked on that specific industry and then build something similar to what you are trying to do.
Yes. Yeah, having people who actually understand the industry and the use case and are able to kind of take the problem statement that you're talking about and translate it into actionable items is paramount. You're right. And so, thank you today too for your expertise. I know you've been doing this type of stuff for a long time, so I know this is at the forefront of your mind. And then the last question I have for you today, Salam, is in conclusion, what key takeaway or message would you like our listeners to remember about digital labor and its potential to reshape the business landscape?
Thank you, KP. So companies are driven by growth, by customer experience, and then being able to be very flexible. And all these three are enabled by digital labor. I'll explain. If you have employees that are empowered by these executive assistants, KP, you mentioned earlier, they're going to be much more productive, and then they will be servicing your customers much better. Now you are creating that customer experience. In fact, there is a research that now CEOs, CTOs, CIOs are focusing on employee experience because they didn't get that level of customer experience. People were aiming for one customer experience. It's actually at the forefront of growth. So employee experience directly impacts customer experience. The second thing, you know what we have seen in COVID, in which there was a lot of disruptions because people were not able to come to the office. They were not able to come to work. Demand increasing. You would like to have that elasticity in your workforce. And then digital labor, that's their technology. You can create as many instances of them when you have more growth. You can actually create less when you have less demand. So it really goes with how much revenue you are creating. And then at the end, and then the last thing, which is something we mentioned, you need growth in which you would like to do things faster with better quality. And then so that you foster growth in which you are cutting in cycle times for you to do things or creating more volumes in things you produce. So digital labor is a must, the way I see it, for companies to be competitive in what they do from these three angles. And thanks to Gen AI, digital labor is way smarter than it used to be. And then looking forward to help organizations really achieve growth and then customer experience with digital labor.
Well said. Thank you for that summary. And I can attest partially for the customer experience side of it too, because, you know, for in healthcare, for example, like if I need, sometimes I need a reminder, right? Like, and I can't imagine how many times, I know we had a use case or case study recently for a company who was backlogged by a bunch of customer calls, right? And like struggling to kind of keep up with reaching out to those customers. But not only that, but what happens after they talk to the customer. So like, you know, the process of maybe I need to update a document for them to get updated in their system. So it's just, it's not only helping the employees provide faster service to me, but it's also providing quality service once I'm in contact with them. It's improving the process overall, and it's making it faster, but it's also making it more accurate. And I need reminders. I'm just a human being. Sometimes I need those reminders, and thanks to automation and AI, that's now possible. So thank you so much today, Salam, for your time. I really appreciate it. I'm looking forward to chatting with you more on some other upcoming topics. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you, KP. Thank you for having me, and looking forward to our next episode.
That concludes our episode of Tech Transformations. We hope you found it as informative as we did. Stay tuned for more exciting discussions on the latest tech trends, innovation, and how technology is shaping the world around us. Till next time, this is KP signing off.